David Wojahn, author of World Tree, says, quote, "For over 30 years now, Leslie Ullman has steadily refined a poetry of the most acute and lyrically precise mindfulness, of what one of her poems calls the greater alertness," close quote. He goes on with further praise, and I second the motion. If you have not read the work of Leslie Ullman, you have not experienced a special dimension. Leslie is joining us now from Taos, New Mexico, and we are looking forward to her having a reading and book signing here at Barnes & Noble on the west side here in El Paso next Saturday from 2 to 5 p.m. Leslie, welcome.
Thank you, Monica.
What a delight, and congratulations on the publication of this beautiful volume titled Progress on the Subject of Immensity. It's fabulous. How long did it take to gather this collection?
This collection is actually a composite of two collections, which were written over a 15-year period.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened with this one, much of this one was the second one. And then, as I worked with University of New Mexico Press, they suggested I replace some poems, which I ended up really being glad to do.
Mm-hmm.
And that was when I went back to the earlier manuscript and realized that several of the poems in that book were really traveling the same territory I felt that I was discovering in the second manuscript. And that actually, by pulling some poems out of there, I had a stronger rendition of something that I was aware I was trying to do in the second book. So I now have one book that's published, and I have probably its equivalent in published poems in magazines that are not in a book and may not end up in a book.
But I do hope that they would, because this is just a jewel. The cover is beautifully designed. It's such a delight to hold and enjoy. I've just been wandering through this wonderfully, to quote David Wojahn again, he says, you have an almost shamanistic willingness to visit those liminal states between waking and dreaming. Why don't we sample a particular poem that, it just spoke to me, because I do love to read, and I do tend to get a little drowsy sometimes when I do, and it's a special kind of relaxation. Would you be good enough to read Don't Sleep Yet for us?
This one's called Don't Sleep Yet. This is what you've longed for. Drops tapping the shingles and the silent flowering of each word printed on the page before you. Water pours off the eaves and drips into the dead leaves outside, and you are held. Held the way wood and glass were meant to hold you. Keep the rain. You need the privacy tomorrow will shred to bits. Blue rain, streaked wind, the lamp pulling the room around it, the book pulling your life around it. The rain is trying to tell you a story of going outside and coming back in.
Oh, thank you, Leslie. That particular poem, it just gives me goosebumps because it captures so amazingly this magical state of mind. How on earth did you manage to fit all the diverse sources of inspiration and all the ideas and things that are in this book into such a delicate, diaphanous theme? How did you do that?
Well, it was like making a collage over a period of, over 10 years. The pieces were there. I think the shape of the book was in the back of my mind. And that helped me write new pieces, and it helped me shape new pieces sort of around the way the mind works,
mm-hmm.
and where the mind has limitations and where something else needs to take over. I was very aware of playing with that notion when I started the second manuscript. But I have to say that putting the book together, I was recognizing in retrospect that I had already been working on that theme, as I said before. So I was seeing things I'd written before that suddenly jumped out at me, that fell into that. And then even the cover, which I'm so glad you liked it.
Oh, I do.
That's a postcard of a quilt piece that a woman I met in Taos 10 years ago Dottie Moore, who's a very, very fine quilt artist, and she has a website everyone should go to.
I would never have guessed that was a quilt. That's beautiful.
It's a quilt, and it's like a painting that you hang on a wall.
Yes.
It's not a bed quilt. And she makes these beautiful, slightly surreal, richly mm-hmm. colored landscapes. Mm-hmm. She has a beautiful imagination.
Yes.
And I've had this postcard on my desk for 10 years, not
we
knowing,
know.
Dreaming that I might have it on a book cover. And when I when I told UNM that I wanted one of her quilts, at first they weren't sure they wanted that. It was too homey. And I said, I need something homey on my cover with
wow.
a title like Progress on the Subject of Immensity. And then they decided they liked the quilt, and then they picked the one that I wanted, and I was afraid it was too horizontal for a designer.
Oh, no, it just is lovely. It's such a pretty thing. I encourage people to go to your website. It's LeslieUllman.com, is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay, and of course the book is available at Amazon.com, or better yet, just come out to Barnes & Noble next Saturday between 2 and 5 on the west side there on Sunland Park and Mesa Hills, and they'll get to meet you, which is even neater. Having known you for a number of years and enjoyed your friendship so very much, I have also observed that you do tend to, like this postcard that was on your desk, you collect beautiful things that speak to you, and the stones appear almost as characters in your books. Just little articles that are so intriguing, and each carries a story. Talk to me about how this played into this volume.
I had been writing poems that I didn't know were going to end up in this book.
Mm-hmm.
And I also wrote poems with this book in mind. I knew I had a series going when I started it. I started this volume probably in about 2005.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I revised it a year and a half ago, I ended up pulling some poems out and putting in some that I had from another manuscript. So I had this collection of poems. It was like a shadow box full of things, or a mm-hmm. drawer full of things. And I could sort of pick them out and see them differently. And even Dottie's quilt postcard was something that was sitting on my desk, and that just found its way into the book. It's like these things were all waiting to come together if I didn't get in their way.
Yes.
And it took a long time. I mean, if anybody had told me it would take this long, I think I would have jumped out a third-story window head first.
But it's best we don't know some things when we go in.
I think so. And now it doesn't matter, because I've got the book I wanted.
Oh, I've learned that if you see someone who has completed a book, authored a book, they've been through hell and back, to put it basically, a number of times. It's something that you just have to be absolutely passionate about, or you would not endure what it takes to accomplish the feat. Tell me, the issue of the mind as something outside of yourself, you are watching and commenting on the functions of your own mind. Did this ever make you uncomfortable? What was that
well,
like?
It wasn't just my mind. I was feeling some compassion for the part of all of us that pushes so hard.
Yes.
So I don't feel that I'm talking about the mind in a scornful way. I am making fun of it. I'm turning it into a character.
Mm-hmm.
I'm letting the mind as a character come into the presence of something else. And I think maybe it was funny that I started the first poems in this book when I had my first paid leave of absence ever from UTEP.
Oh, my.
And I rented a casita and in Taos, and I bought a ski pass, and I was supposed to work on a book of craft essays. And I went to my casita and skied my brains out every day and started writing these poems. I had been reading Jane Hirschfield's Lives of the Heart, and in a kind of playful way, I decided to write about the death of the mind and just see if I could write some really delicate poems touching on that and, mm-hmm. and looking beyond the mind's sense that it is responsible for everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I was going through a period like that in my own life. I had a leave of absence. I wasn't having to push so hard. I was having a chance to recognize what else wanted to happen with me and what other things my own mind and creative energy wanted to do, and I was spending a lot of time out of doors, and I wasn't in a mad hurry all the time, and I just started to see beyond the kind of energy I had been living off of from
yes.
my whole young adulthood into middle age.
And you went from the linear into the kind of chaotic sphere of mentality instead of just the single directional flow. With that.
Well, I was welcoming getting away from
yes.
it. It wasn't scary, and it can be very scary when you're under pressure
Yes.
I think these acts of recognition or these passages we make wait for us to have time to dwell in them. So for me, it was a very pleasant, I was still probably living in my usual type A way, but I was thinking differently.
Yes.
And I was making the mind into a character and making aspects of myself into a character. I had no agenda. I was waiting to see what was going to happen. But it was nice to do this because I wasn't writing about myself per se. I was writing about something, some realm of ideas, really, that were probably taking me a little bit more into the realm of philosophy, more than I've ever been in my writing. And I was ready for that.
You've ended up with an absolutely transcendent product. Some of these passages are so beautiful. I thank you so much for completing this and for getting it published. My guest today is well-known poet Leslie Ullman, talking with us from her home in Taos, New Mexico. She will be here on Saturday from 2 to 5 p.m., signing her beautiful book titled Progress on the Subject of Immensity, published by University of New Mexico Press. She'll be at the Westside Barnes & Noble, that's at Sunland Park and Mesa Hills. The book is available on Amazon.com, and you can check out Leslie's work at leslieullman.com. Leslie, always a pleasure to speak with you. Thank you so very much.
Thank you.